Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, it is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. We are here for college football. That's right, App State, East Carolina, and then Saturday evening, Clemson and Georgia, the top five matchup to kick off the season again as we are broadcasting live from the Charlotte Knights Minor League Baseball Stadium. Gorgeous park here in downtown Charlotte. And then the football field just down the street as well. So just a great time down here so far. Got in last night and always love to be back here. They host the game every single year. And going forward, it will be a little more difficult. We've got news about that coming up as well. But just love being back here for the start of college football season. Let me go ahead and get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline: Florida DN enters transfer portal. It's now former Florida defensive end, junior Andrew Chatfield. As a former four-star recruit, didn't play a whole lot over there, and now that position has gotten deeper and deeper and deeper. He was, again, as I said, a four-star recruit maybe three classes ago, and he is now into the portal. Remember that Florida added at least two transfers earlier this season, and then just this week added another defensive lineman tackle, but still added another defensive lineman from Auburn. Tyrone Truesdale, and so maybe that was Chatfield deciding, you know what, I need to find somewhere else to play. Again, big kid who played at Florida and has produced some. I don't think that he'll have any problem finding scholarship offers awaiting him, maybe already, as a matter of fact. As far as who's still playing and for this weekend, headline: South Carolina running back Harris and corner Smith available week one. That would be Kevin Harris, who was the SEC's leading rusher last season. And then also Cam Smith, which this is desperate. Cam Smith at corner, this is a really, really, really big deal because they were talking JUCO transfer and a wide receiver. That is who was going to be starting at corner for the Gamecocks. And so if Cam Smith's there, good for him. He's got he had foot surgery earlier and was recovering, but he's supposed to be available for week one, which again is a big advantage for South Carolina and Shane Beamer. Final headline, I want to head out west a little bit. This guy that maybe you remember from Tennessee. Headline: Colorado quarterback Shrout out for the season. JT Shrout, who again transferred from the Vols last season, played four games last year in Knoxville. But again, 6'3", 215 pounds, and has undergone knee surgery, out for the season, and it was a non-contact drill about 2 weeks ago, and so that will shelve him for 21. Nothing you can do, transferring, whatever. It ain't a depth chart thing anymore. It's a knee thing. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we will take a quick break, come back, get back into college football previews for the weekend. Week one is here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. Bet.us, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. Bet.us is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, Bet.us has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf and round matchups, and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.
US.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I give Virginia Tech credit as a program. That if we DeLorean back, 15 years, 20 years, they've never shied away from a season opener, and I mean a tough one. All comers. Sometimes it's been a week one neutral site paycheck game. Sometimes it's been a conference deal. Sometimes it's been, hey, it's early in the season. Yeah, we'll go play in C-Bus. We got no issue with that. The issue has been not playing the games. They've stopped winning those games. And then last year, it just didn't look very Virginia Techish much at all, as in they didn't play very good defense, and they didn't win like they had won for the better part of about two decades. This is a, don't make no mistake, folks, 2021, fork in the road for this program. I want to welcome on a man who covers the whole ACC, but that certainly includes the Gobblers. ACC beat writer for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, it is Mike Barber. Mike, how are you today?
Excellent. Thanks for having me again.
Well, I appreciate you making some time. Virginia Tech, I give them credit as a program. Yeah, week one, let's get going, brother. This is not going to be an easy game tomorrow night against a team that was just bombs away against them last season.
Yeah, you know, and it's such an interesting time. I mean, it's a pivotal game for the season, right? It's hard to envision winning the Coastal Division this year if you open with a loss to Carolina, who's the favorite. And then you have everything off the field with Coach Fuente and this being a make or break year for him, and how will the fans react? What will the tone and the tenor of the season be if you open with a loss, particularly if you don't play well? And then Chuck, look at the first 5 weeks, they've got what the fans are going to consider marquee games with North Carolina, West Virginia, and
Absolutely.
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, there's a chance, and kind of like you were referring to back in the day, hey, if you win two or all three of those, man, people are feeling good about your program. Conversely, if you win one or you lose all three, it's going to be a little bit, the sky is falling in Blacksburg, and it's very important that Virginia Tech avoids that.
One of the other items, I said it didn't look very Virginia Tech-ish. And I have to be honest, I've been a big fan of Coach Fuente going back to his days at TCU. Something else that didn't look very Justin Fuente-ish is the quarterback play, because he has always been somebody, you know, that reputation. You can just walk in and, like, lay hands on a kid, and all of a sudden he's a productive college quarterback to the point that Paxton Lynch was a first-round pick, and he can't play. What is 2021 going to look like for Braxton Burmeister?
Yeah, it's fascinating because, Chuck, a year ago in the preseason, right, and I'm talking, you know, the beginning of fall camp, all we heard about from the coaches was how much they loved Braxton Burmeister, his athleticism, his passing, all the things he could do, and how much they loved Raheem Blackshear, the transfer running back from Rutgers.
Yep.
And then fast forward into the year, and Hendon Hooker is the starting quarterback, and Khalil Herbert is the running back, and Burmeister breaks some toes, and Blackshear never really gets going. I think there's a vision of what this offense could be with Burmeister and Blackshear that the coaches were fathoming and kind of muddling over in their minds last preseason. And I think now we're going to see it. I think they feel really good about the pieces they have offensively.
Well, talk more about the running backs, because I remember in spring I was trying to figure out, you know, because you look at everybody who could possibly be a contender and say, you know, what, how much would it take? What could happen, et cetera? And I saw 11 scholarship running backs. And then I got a text from a buddy of mine sometime during the summer, and I don't even know who left, but he said, hey, we're down to 10. I was like, okay, I guess that's improvement. Work through the remaining 10 running backs. Who are we going to see actually get the rock tomorrow?
Yeah, you don't need to go 10 deep there, but I'll tell you, they're going to start with the guys who have experience. Jalen Holston is a guy they've had high expectations for a long time. He's going to get a shot to be the guy. Raheem Blackshear, who I just mentioned, you know, they love him for his versatility. He can split out wide. He can play wildcat. He can motion to different formations. But they're going to give him a chance to be kind of the every down back. And I think in the end, this is still going to be an offense that rides the hot hand. Keyshawn King, a year or so ago, he looked like he was going to ascend to that kind of a role. So I think all three of those guys I just mentioned early on are going to get the ball. They're going to get a series. And if one of them is productive, he's the starting tailback for the day. And I think that's just what it's going to be this year. I don't think they have a Khalil Herbert. I don't think they have a 1,000-yard rusher, a 30-carry-a-game guy. I think they're going to have a guy who hopefully by the second quarter of the game has established himself on that afternoon. And then, you know, they have a good veteran offensive line, big physical. So if you find the hot hand as a running back, I think they'll be okay running the football, but I don't think they're going to have one guy that we're kind of cooing over at the end of the year.
Oh, no, I agree with you about that. They've got a center guard tackle lineup that I really like, especially on one side of the line there. Let's flip over to defense. Talk about the overhaul of the defensive coaching staff. And like I said, maybe it was the pandemic, or maybe it was a bad preparation. Maybe they just played great opponents. I don't know. But that was not a Virginia Tech defense last year. Will it be better in 21?
Yeah, Chuck, and I may have said this to you at some point, maybe back in the spring, but I think this is the area where I don't think they're going to get incrementally better. I think they're going to get astronomically better. I really think, and I'm not big on making excuses for people, but Justin Hamilton coming in, not having a spring, having a disjointed fall, having all the people in the secondary in particular out because of COVID protocols, he never really established what he wants to do. Now, the jury's out on, you know, how good what he wants to do is and how that'll look on the field. But I almost, and this sounds kind of silly, but I almost don't judge him at all on last year. Like, he wasn't coaching what he wants to coach. Now he's had a spring and a fall. You talk to the veteran players, they say they understand exactly the vision of what he wants. I think he's been able to refine some of that for his personnel. And I think they have good pieces, Chuck. I think they have good players on defense. I think Jermaine Waller is as good a cover corner as you're going to find in the ACC. I mean, I think he's that good. I think the linebackers, Holyfield and Tisdale, are really good on the inside. I think Amari Barno is on the verge of a breakout season at defensive end. Now, where I worry about this defense is I think the first 11 is good enough to win the Coastal. I think the second 11, you got some question marks there. So they very much need to stay healthy for Justin Hamilton this year.
And I want to ask you about one kid on the back end who was just a monster get in recruiting a couple seasons back. What has Devin Hunter sort of blossomed into?
Well, you know, Devin obviously had the trouble off the field and was suspended. Justin Fuente was pretty blunt about, hey, the easy thing to do would be to kick the kid off the team and be done with it. And Justin's done that with a number of pretty high-profile guys in his tenure. Devin Hunter was a guy the coaching staff believed in. They think he can be a good player. They believe he's a good person. And all the reviews since he's been allowed back have been great. You know, he works hard. He's a good teammate. He's doing everything they ask. I think the proof was in the pudding, though, when they released that depth chart and he was the starter at that safety position. That tells me, okay, he's not just back and rehabbing his image and his – he's back and maybe ready to finally deliver on that promise. He was as big a recruit as this program has had in a long time. And coming out of the area where they like to get star recruits, he is a potential impact player, game changer, Cam Chancellor kind of guy back there. And if he's finally playing at that level, that could really elevate this defense.
Last thing I want to ask you about, and this is the big kick in the pants you see sometimes, you know, Will Muschamp has a five-star quarterback committed. If they fire him, the guy's like, yeah, I ain't going there anymore. Justin Fuente, I mean, I don't think I'm stirring up anything. If this season doesn't go better, he's out. And he already is putting together a 22 class, which it might be Virginia. You mentioned the recruiting along the, you know, Virginia Beach area and all that, which they used to own. He's putting together a heck of a class for 22. How much sway do you think that has if it does wind up being a 6-6 season?
I don't think it's 6-6. It'll be enough. But if it's 7-5 or it's 8-4 and gasp, hold your breath, avert your eyes, includes a loss to Virginia, I think that's where that kind of recruiting class can save him. I think you're to the point, and everybody's different, and you don't know what's in Whit Babcock's head right now. But to me, I'm not convinced that Justin Fuente is the wrong guy. I'm not convinced that you want to be rid of him. So the recruiting class is an excuse to keep him if it's somewhere in the gray area. Now, if they go 5-7 or 6-6, I don't think it's going to matter. I think you've got to make the move. But if he's 7-5 and beats Virginia and is competitive in some of those marquee games, and you're looking for that excuse to say, hey, here's why we're keeping him, I think you're right. I think they've done a great job recruiting. I think there's a lot of potential, and it could save him if he's in that gray area. But he's got some work to do just to get into that gray area.
And am I making too much of a leap there for Tech fans? I mean, has the 757, have they planted a flag there again? Because they used to own that place.
Yeah, the difference is, you know, starting with kind of Michael Vick, it became such a national area. So they're still going to have Ohio State coming in there. They're still going to have Clemson coming in there. Some of these, you know, top level programs. But yeah, I think that Virginia Tech has got itself at least back on a really good footing in all the big markets, in the Richmond area, in the 757, in that Northern Virginia area. I think they have reestablished themselves after kind of a dalliance with like Texas to VT and all the success they've had in Carolina. I think they've gotten back to kind of trying to own the state and then getting big pieces from other places. But again, you reference this. You change coaches, and it all starts from ground zero.
Yep. I mean, it was a lot easier, like, what, about 40 years ago when nobody cared who was playing football in Norfolk?
That's absolutely the case. I mean, there was a long time where Frank Beamer and Brian Steinspring and those guys could go down there and pick 22 players they really liked and go on home with them. And sometimes they butted heads with UVA, but now there's a lot of people fishing in those waters.
Mike, always appreciate the insight, brother. It's always great stuff. Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Mike Barber again, ACC beat writer, Richmond Times-Dispatch. I don't have children, but I nieces and nephews, I mean, they just scattered like just everywhere. All right, so I get roped into things like going to a six-year-old soccer game sometimes. You ever been to a six-year-old soccer game? Do you know what it is? First of all, I think there's only like four kids on a side, and they have the tiny little nets that you just kind of place. Okay. However many kids are on a side, it's every kid from both team, including the goalies, in this mass. It looks like rugby, actually. So it's not anything you're really going to enjoy going to. When you go to kids' sporting events, it's beyond – I don't want to mention this because this is actually starting as well. It goes beyond your need to see world-class athletic events. Because I've already got a schedule full of it. You got the football game here and you got the recital there. It's just so the kid feels valued is all. And when you're talking about going to youth league sports and such like that, that is going to be something that everybody does all season long, even though it may not be your kid. But just understand that the reason you're doing that is so that the kid can feel special. I wanted to mention that. I made a little note there because I know I've got a full season ahead of that myself. I do want to go back and mention one thing. I was talking earlier about Auburn and what their season is about. I think I have boiled down exactly what they are. They have maybe the best running back in the conference, most productive running back in the conference, and he's going to have to earn a whole lot of that. They have a skilled quarterback, and I saw a declaration, and it's going to be tough to live up to, but a declaration, I think it was Chandler Wooten, who said Auburn may have the best linebackers in the SEC. Again, it's going to be tough for them to live up to that in a definite, technical term, in that you look at the preseason voting, for instance, and the expectation in Tuscaloosa, they had all three first-team SEC linebackers, and Henry To'o wasn't one of them. But that is what I always talk about. It's a corner to fight out of, and then unusual depth. And I mean this, but, you know, how do you win games in 2021? You throw the football. Unusual depth in the secondary. And so there are a lot of positives. But you got to remember the waters you swim in, and it is going to be a different sort of season on the plains.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Florida State kicks it off Sunday night, and when you talk about marquee brands, as far as the brands go, I would put this above Clemson and Georgia. And FSU and Notre Dame, woo, and it's free, man. Ain't even pay-per-view TV, but we know that the brand only carries you so far. And the tough part for a coaching staff is, like, go back and start doing the ages of how old is this year's high school senior? Like, he's 17. You know, how old was he when XYZ happened? And when you get back to, like, when Vince Young was scoring against Southern Cal and this year's, you know, senior recruits, what were they, like, two? It doesn't carry a lot of weight. It takes a minute. And high school kids that are being recruited, they may like the uniforms, the brands, everything else, but it's about winning and getting to the league and what have you done in the draft, et cetera. And Florida State's got some work to do. I want to welcome on now a guy who covers the program just about as deeply as anybody you'll find, co-creator and co-host of the Knollcast. It is Ingram Smith. Ingram, how are you, man?
Doing great, Chuck. Doing great. Appreciate you having me on. And, yeah, it's great. You know, a couple marquee brands playing on Sunday night. It would be a nice way to, bring about not the end, but kind of a bridge between Saturday's games and a couple that are scheduled for Monday. So really look forward to it. And great that we've all made it through the summer doldrums and college football is here in front of us.
I second that. Before we jump into the game and the matchups and what the depth chart for Florida State may look like to at least start the season, talk about the Nolcast a little bit. Because for me to say, oh, yeah, he hosts the Nolcast, that kind of breezes past it. You're not somebody who's got a laptop and some bandwidth and decided to talk football. You started this more than a decade ago, which I have to imagine people who have done the same podcast consecutively for more than 10 years, I mean consistently for more than 10 years, that's got to be a pretty small number.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I mean, we've been doing it for about 11 years. This is the 10th year that we've done it with structure, you know, game preview, game review, et cetera, et cetera. So we're kind of trying to figure out how to do it, and we've been really fortunate, and I've been fortunate to couldn't have a better partner on a Florida State football podcast than Bud Elliott. But we've been a success, certainly. We've found an awful lot of commercial success the past 5 years or so. But it's, you know, to do about 100 episodes a year. We're not a daily podcast, but we are in the space and, you know, like to think of ourselves as one of the premier team-specific podcasts out there.
What was it? Who was it? Was it Woody Allen maybe that said, what was it, success is 90% just showing up? Just keep showing up and doing the work consistently, and that is a big part of getting ahead. And, again, in the podcast world, to do it for 11 years is a big deal. All right, let's talk quarterbacks. Jump on the field with Florida State. Let's talk quarterbacks and how that competition worked itself out over 29 practices in August.
Jordan Travis is your quarterback, in my opinion. That will become official on Sunday night. But Travis has played really well. Mackenzie Milton has battled some injuries and maybe some other complications, depending on who you talk to. But, you know, Milton will have moments where he kind of flashes. But just the consistency hasn't been there. Now, you can put the term gamer on somebody, and certainly when you have a head coach who's had some pretty epic battles with Milton when he was at Memphis and Milton was at UCF, you're going to have a head coach that in the back of his mind probably gives you a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he's seen what you've done, and even a post-injury Milton, he still knows the type of competitor that guy is. So I don't think the door's shut on Mackenzie Milton, but as far as game one starter, it's going to be Jordan Travis. I would expect Jordan Travis to take 75% of your snaps at quarterback.
All right, I have repeated this quote on the air, and I will apologize. I don't think it was you. But somebody told me, who covers the team, somebody said that they thought that Travis was the best open field runner on the team, like the most explosive, dangerous. Once he's past that front line, is like, yeah, he can turn it into a score better than anybody on the roster. Is that a heady compliment, or you've watched him, or you look at him and go, yeah, that's true?
I believe that to be true. I mean, there's some metrics out there last year that would put him, I think, as one of the three or four more explosive runners in all of college football. He is he's as dynamic as anybody that they have with a ball under his arm, and that can apply to quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, anything else. Now, part of that is a fairly condemning statement to make about Florida State's wide receivers, but, yeah, Travis is a special kid. It'll be interesting to see how much of the talk of him improving as a passer plays out on game days. I do believe it's legitimate. I mean, there's people that have told me that are, you know, scouts on Sunday, not somebody trying to sell you a subscription to a fan site or anything else. There's no reason for false optimism. But you're always curious to see if the progress made during summer transitions to the field in fall.
Quality running backs, and it is plural, like at least three of them, if not maybe a freshman we don't know about. How do you think they pass the ball around?
I think Jayshon Corbin is your main carry getter, at least for this game. Over the course of the season, I think he'll be your number one back. But they like what they have there. They've even had the running back that they recently put on scholarship. They got the Williams kid that transferred in out of Auburn that they have seen the light slightly come on for recently. Then, you know, Lawrence Toofili is he's not necessarily a burner, Chuck, but he's a slasher. I mean, he's a guy that can get in the open field, make somebody miss. And he was a true freshman last year, still remains undersized, but adds a little bit of an explosive element that they'll get involved in the passing game as well with Toofili.
Okay, tell me if you think this is a fair evaluation. I think the offensive line, and me and you, by the way, and everybody, you know, he's a Florida State fan. I'm an Auburn grad and fan. We have lived in twin offensive line misery for the past three or four seasons. I think with both programs, this is an accurate evaluation. They're not bad enough that you need to talk about them anymore.
fair?
I think that's very fair, and certainly this will be the last year of that. I mean, they have signed, or they haven't signed, they have recruited and committed maybe one of the best offensive line classes in the country this year. I mean, and they don't have necessarily five-star kids, but they've got seven kids committed currently and maybe still chasing an eighth or ninth even. So they have addressed the issue when it comes to the high school ranks. And they did a really good job of developing kids last year. Now, there's a little bit of question as to how much that improvement was it based off the fact that defenses have to account for the quarterback as a runner and really kind of changes the numbers game when that's the case. But regardless, a unit that was embarrassing 2 years ago turned into below average last year. And if you're a Florida State fan, you hope that that trend continues and some of these younger pieces that they have starting at tackle and center and the other, or both tackles, continue to progress, and then that your guards, likely Givens, the transfer out of Notre Dame, and then they've moved Devontae Love Taylor, who was a tackle last year, down to guard, that your guards are, you know, somewhat of a strength of your offensive line, and you continue to progress. They were pretty good at run blocking last year, Chuck. Still had some difficulties when it came to clear passing situations.
All right, jump over to defense, and this is something I thought you and I maybe you talked off air earlier in the year, that, you know, one of the biggest changes, Ingram, to me in college football, you remember this, if you brought in any transfer, it was for one reason. That kid was going to start. That's just not what it is anymore. It's not even realistic. At one corner, I thought Jerry and Jones coming in, I thought that kid was going to start. And Travis Jay, you talk about a big old good-looking young corner out there. That kid's, what, about 6'2", over 200 pounds, and he's a corner.
Yeah. Florida State is not a good enough team to have anybody be a household name, but I think the college football world's going to be pretty familiar with Travis Jay by the end of this year. I mean, that's a guy that I would be surprised if he's not first team all conference at a minimum. So he's a special athlete, big kid. He'll probably get a couple fouls because he likes to be, you know, he'll get some laundry thrown on the field. He likes to be aggressive. He's going to jam you. He'll have to adjust a little bit to the expectations that are put on, you know, college cornerbacks in the year 2021. But he may be their best football player, period. No qualifier, Chuck.
Wow.
He's an exceptional guy that, like I said, the broader college football world will get a lot more accustomed to. Another guy, you know, Florida State's recruiting has certainly slid over the past 3 or 4 years from where they wanted to be. The one place where that's kind of an exception is the secondary. They've continued to sign guys that, you know, Alabama and everybody else was in on. And Akeem Dent was a guy that came in, had a really solid freshman year. If he had caught a couple more balls that were in his hands, would have been a freshman All-American, and had nothing but a exceptionally disappointing year last year. They've moved him to safety, and by all accounts, he is you know, looking much more like the five-star prospect that he was coming out of high school. So you can always get yourself caught in some of the hyperbole slash optimism of this time of the year, but I think Florida State's secondary is going to be pretty strong, and I would not surprise me to see Dent have a pretty significant bounce back year.
Oh, bounce across from Travis Jay to the other side. How did Brownlee get that job? I'm always impressed when a freshman or a redshirt is able to snag a starting spot, especially at corner, because that ain't easy in Power 5 football. I mean, you're out there on an island against the best athletes on the opponent's team.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's a Florida State's linebackers are such a liability, Chuck, that a ton of people are going to get to play that play, you know, cornerback slash safety in some rather creative formations, in my opinion. But Brownlee's a really good player, has had really nice moments. Kevin Knowles is a true freshman who, if I just sat you down and had you watch the spring game with no knowledge of roster or any pre-existing idea, you might tell me that Kevin Knowles was the best player you saw on Florida State's defense. I mean, a guy that immediately made an impact when he got on campus, and a true freshman that the defense coordinator has gone out of his way to say will play a significant amount. Miko Dotson's another kid that they have there. He's a transfer. I believe he led the FCS in interceptions 2 years ago. So a guy that they think highly of. There's going to be a ton of pieces rotated here. Jerrion Jones is a kid from Miss State that transferred in last year. He's going to be a significant snap getter. So you're going to have five or six guys that takes, you know, starter number of snaps at the end of the year, in my opinion, when you look back at the secondary.
And I want to ask you, you're talking about how, you know, linebackers, we're going to kind of fudge with that. Is Deloach one of those kids that they're going to call a linebacker, but they're going to have him running around everywhere?
Well, he's certainly the most athletic of the linebackers. And the other linebacker, the other starting linebacker, Chuck, might be 258-pound DJ Lundy. I mean, that's a linebacker from 1991, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, that's Andre Davis at Florida, man.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, I don't know how that transitions to 2021 college football, but Amari Gaynor is certainly a nice piece. Steven Dix, if you were to, you know, as you're fond of saying, if you were to sit down and try to draw a linebacker, Steven Dix is what you would draw up. He just doesn't – physique hasn't transitioned to on-the-field product, I'll put it that way. So they've got a couple pieces there. They're going to keep working at it. You might get Emmett Rice back from injury at some point in the year. But it's all hands on deck, and Deloach is going to get a lot of snaps because he's got a unique skill set compared to the rest of that group.
Jeff Luck is a little disappointed you didn't mention his name just now.
Yeah, Jeff Luck, he would have been a good 1991 linebacker, definitely.
Well, he looked the part, didn't he?
He. I don't know that there's ever been anybody that looked the part more than Jeff Luck, yeah.
And then Cincinnati and then somewhere else, and then I think he ran around the NFL for about 2 weeks.
Well,
2 weeks more than me, or you, or probably anybody listening. Ingram, always appreciate you making time, brother. We will get you during the season as well, I'm certain.
Have fun up in Charlotte, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
All right. Ingram Smith again from the Nolcast. Yeah, they had to get Jeff Luck. Go Google Jeff. And it, by the way, I think it's L-U-C, isn't it? Jeff Luck working out. I would have given him a scholarship if he didn't even play football. Like, he lived in Alberta and was a hockey player or something, or curling. I would have given that kid a scholarship just on how he looked, and turned out he actually played football and was really good in high school. Another kid, now, this he actually turned out to be a first-round pick. And this is what started. I remember coming back after being at an FSU practice. Ernie Sims, he was a kid out of Jacksonville who I think went to was it Trinity Christian over there, the private school? And he hit the radar because he had visited Auburn and Georgia. And it's been 15 years, folks. I think at both places he inquired about wearing 34. And I was like, yeah, you ain't gonna wear 34. I don't think. And I think it was maybe Bo and Herschel said, I think Bo said, I don't care. Herschel might have said, I wore 34. I honestly, I don't think either of them cared, but I was like, they're not gonna do that. Goes to Florida State, and I'm at one of his first practices, and he walks off the field, and he's wearing just that Under Armour shirt at that point. He's the number one recruit, maybe linebacker in America. And I said he looked like a superhero. You know, like a DC or Marvel or whatever? It looked like somebody had drawn him with muscle on top of muscle on top, and then that big fat muscle in the back of his neck. And I was like, is there a cape? Is there like a superpower you have? And the kid was like 19 years old, just an unbelievable player. And he did turn into a first-round draft pick. But, boy, you talk about, you know, that phrase, looking the part. He was definitely one of them. All right, we're going to break, come back, wrap up on a Thursday from Charlotte next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Players and the coaches have handled it great. It was a long trip coming over here, but we got to rest on Sunday. Our combinations have been great. It's like a bowl. Our team has been focused. Everybody's early to meetings. We're kind of in our own little protective cocoon here, so it's been good.
Coach O, now out in California, I guess. They're heading there today, I believe. They have been in Houston. preparing for the UCLA game, which takes place out in the Rose Bowl on Saturday. And I mentioned this earlier in the week when we got the news that they had a walk, well, they had a, what they called a scrimmage on Saturday night. It was like shorts, T-shirt, helmet, you know, punt return, PAT field goal block, you know, whatever. And you got 11 guys. Just make sure 11 guys know what they're doing. Got on buses. 10 hours later, they finish a four-hour trip to Houston, and that's where they have camped out. Now it's going to be UCLA. I talked about this on Monday when we found out about their plans and what had happened, and this is a big deal. To disrupt a football team more so than anybody else. It's different with hoops, for instance. You know what? I need a gym and a ball. Let's get a run going. Baseball, if you got the field, then boom, it doesn't matter. Football is really, really, really different because it is more about you than maybe any other team. The successful teams, you know what they do? Obviously, you game plan and scout and do all that other stuff. But the really successful programs, the championship programs, their preparation is more about them. And here's what we do. And I know that this week we're playing UCLA or UC Davis. I believe the Aggies. And it doesn't matter. This is what we do, and this is going to be our approach. I don't know if LSU's there. I know they'd like to get back to that point. But if they go ahead and get the dub this weekend out there, it is a much bigger deal than anybody's going to give them credit for, including me. I'm the one who brought it up. That when you disrupt a football team, not only the location, but, I mean, it is – I've done this the same way, the same time, on the same field, so many hundreds of times I have done this, that on Saturday – I don't even – it's like I don't need to think. I just react. You didn't even react. You're a middle linebacker, and you're just staring, and there is a brain cell that is saying, I've been told my key is the guard. Oh, there's the guard. You don't think, look at it. The brain cell does it, and your body just kind of becomes a functioning part of that brain cell. It's a trigger, and you just start running to your left because you saw the tight end motion. And when you had seen that 150 times on Thursday in practice, you don't think and then react. You just, off you go. That's what you do. And a 10-hour bus ride? No. And somebody else's facilities? No. And God bless Ed Orgeron for putting a positive spin on it. You know, we've talked before that if he were on the Titanic, he would still be, hey, guys, go be a little brisk. Let's go for a swim. That's Ed Orgeron. So he's saying, it's like being in a bowl game. Well, okay, sure. When you get out to the Rose Bowl, it will be. But this is, I'm telling you, nobody's going to give him any enough credit because I think they're still going to win. And it's a tiny little number. What we said yesterday is either 3, 3.5. Tiny little number there, and I really do like LSU this weekend, and this is a big element that, honestly, this is something that kind of comes back and helps them if you get through this. This comes back, and this is an advantage for you that you would never, ever wish upon yourself. This is a big advantage for that team to steal them as they get into the conference slate a little later. I want to welcome on Dan Matthews right now. Dan, how is your Thursday?
Oh, so far, so good. And, you know, it's kind of expand on what you just been talking about right there. I think if nothing else, it's kind of healthy for them to have another element in the equation with this because, really, when you look at this trip for LSU, Chuck, it's got some serious going up to Lambeau vibes. And going to Lambeau was awesome. The result was not. And I think that that's something that Ed Orgeron, who was on that coaching staff, and then a few weeks later would become the head coach of the team, I got to believe that's being preached to them as well. Is, yeah, this is a different venue that we've been to. It's iconic. All those different types of things. Remember what happened a few years ago when we fell for that same trap and we weren't ready to play against Wisconsin. Now, playing at Lambeau against Wisconsin there, that had nothing to do with it. They were just underprepared that day and did not play well. They tried to make up for it later, just not enough. But I think that that's probably another bulletin item that Ed Orgeron probably needs to throw at his team. Chuck, I'm going to end the show on a slightly serious note, but is going to kind of, I think, have a good message at the end. And that is, there are three types of people on this planet that I cannot stand. Those who take advantage of senior citizens, those who take advantage of those with disabilities, and the final one, which is leading to the lesson, those who take advantage of high school kids. And I really just with the recent news items that have come out with Bishop Sycamore and just how on a daily basis that becomes more Fyre Festival-like. And then you see the headline to kind of expand on CFB 365 from earlier. Ohio State freshman quarterback Quinn Ewers signing a $1.4 million NIL deal with Autograph Vendor. Real kind of caution and buyer beware to kids out there who kind of, like I've said now, Chuck, kids want status. Hey, I'm good enough to not have to play in this bowl game. I'm good enough to be able to opt out of my senior season. I'm good enough to be able to opt out. There's only one Quinn Ewers. And this is where it's going to fall into that category of the third person that I mentioned right there of beware of those people, because with NIL now, there will be those people out there who are going to give you bad advice. It is incredibly important to have a strong foundation, kind of like what we heard from Cade Klubnik, the kid who's going to go to Clemson out of Texas a few weeks ago, where he said, I'm not skipping because there's no reason for him to. For Quinn Ewers, it worked out. The money was there. The opportunity will be there. And now for this year, he can sit back and enjoy. Don't think that you're Quinn Ewers. There's not many of them. There's a reason why I only named one.
He got $1.4 million to sign autographs over the next three seasons. Mike Schmidt is the greatest third baseman in Major League history. He won't make $500,000 a year signing autographs, not right now. So it's a heck of a deal for a 17-year-old kid who's never played college football. That is for sure. Wraps it up on a Thursday. Be back tomorrow with more college football conversation.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.